You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
That was awkward, a little uncomfortable, but I was waiting, and someone was trying to help me out, but I was waiting, and nothing happened, so I have to be honest, I'm a little bit ticked, because I'm waiting here, and nobody did anything for me. Nobody got me a drink. Nobody came up and gave me a high five. I'm hungry. I didn't have much breakfast. Nobody offered me any food. Nobody said, "Sean, you're doing a really good job." Nobody gave me a hug. Like, I'm waiting here easily 2 minutes, and nobody did one thing for me. I'm upset. Like, you guys are just a bunch of ungrateful losers. And I won't be here next week, so I'm good. But yeah, seriously, right? I mean, and obviously, if I was serious, well, first of all, you're sitting there thinking, like, I want my money back. We're just sitting here for 2 minutes watching this guy just stare at us. But the idea of me sitting around and waiting for you guys to serve me, it seems kind of weird. Like, one, that's not how it works in this environment. But, you know, and it's just kind of weird, like, come on, you're a pastor, or whatever you are. You know, your job is to serve other people. How dare you think that people are supposed to wait on you and serve you? And I would say that's somewhat legitimate. But I would say that the issue isn't because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christ follower, that it would be arrogant of me to sit and think and wait for people to serve me. Because as a follower of Christ, my job is not to sit around and wait to be served. My job is to serve others. And we're starting this series, well, actually, I say you could say we're continuing this series that we started, it was about 2 years ago, I think it was 2013, however that works, 2013, called Relationships. And now we're on the second phase of that in more relationships. And what I want to talk about these next 4 weeks, and actually we're going to have a video next week, but what we're covering over these next 4 weeks is what it means to relate to other people. Hopefully you did not follow, or you do not follow. I know it might have been a little bit too close for comfort, but hopefully you're not following the loser relationship tips and how to deal with conflict. But we'll have more of those over the next few weeks. But the idea of how do we relate to one another. And I want to just set this up, because what we're going to be talking about today, it kind of definitely sets up the rest of the month. But I want you to get this idea through your head, through your thick skull. I want you to make sure that the things that I talk about these next few weeks, the video, all that, that we look at the relationships that you have around you right now. It's the person that is touching you shoulder to shoulder that I'm looking at here. It's the people that you're going to get in the car with and go home. It's the people that you see in your job every day. And it's the people that are mowing their grass at 6 a.m. when you're trying to sleep next to you. Like, that's what I want to look at, because it's easy for the things that I'm about to talk about over these next few weeks. It's easy for us to say, oh, well, yes, that's good for them, those out there. And I want to just kind of break that mold a little bit and just say, let's talk about how we can relate to the people that you already have a relationship. Is it important to do these things with people that are out there? Absolutely. But I want us to I don't want us to miss the connections and the relationships that you already have right now. And so I want to talk today about this idea, kind of setting up the rest of this month, about serving. Because I think so many of us, all of us, we're a bunch of arrogant snobs. Because on some level, we feel that we deserve to be served by other people. And I want to set up a case for you today that really our job as followers of Christ is to serve others, whether or not they serve us in return, whether or not they deserve to be served, whether or not we deserve to be served. And this is the point that I want you to get, and that is that relating, because we're talking about being real in our relationships, relating means we serve selflessly. And again, we've talked about serving so many different times, and I understand that. But I want us to really look at, like, right now in your life, and we'll break this down in a bit, but are you selflessly serving the people around you? Or do you, as man of the house, sit and wait and say, honey, when is dinner ready? Because that is your job, woman, and my job is to sit and wait. Or do you say, kids, go get me the remote, because I want to watch my show. I mean, do you even use remotes anymore? Like, you just flip the app open. But give me my phone. I need to check Facebook. I mean, well, they're kids. That's their job. They're to serve us. You know, you say to the people that are working under, hey, I'm the boss. You are my not boss people. And so I want you to do what I tell you to do. And I want to just kind of break through some of this idea of what we feel like we deserve and what we feel like we owe, and stop waiting for people to serve us and start serving other people selflessly. Taking the initiative, taking the step to say, I am going to serve you, even if they don't deserve it, even if it doesn't make it fair, even if it doesn't make it right. So we're going to look at a passage in 1 Peter that we actually looked at a couple weeks ago. I mean, I love how these series accidentally, honestly, it's not me, God kind of segues these series together. We talked a couple weeks ago about how we are the stage crew, and God is the one that gets the spotlight. God is the focus. And one of the ways that we can bring God glory is by serving other people. And we looked at this passage just kind of briefly about that a couple weeks ago. Now we're going to go a little bit more in depth talking about what it means to serve other people. So here it is in 1 Peter. It says, above all, chapter 4, by the way, verses 8 through 11. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, this is what we looked at a couple weeks ago, if anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, last month's series, Superstar. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now I want to look at this idea of serving. And again, please don't think about the people that we should serve. Like our the Oaxaca team. We are going down to serve, you know, and people throw out the least of these. I don't know. I think the least of these are around us. I'm the least of these sometimes. But we're going to serve, and it's easy to say, oh, this is something that's good for the missions team to do. Pat you on the head. Good little missions team. And then, you know, I don't want you to look at it that way. I want to look at, okay, how can you serve your mom? A lot of kids are like, what? Are you talking to me now? Like, yeah. How can you serve your wife? How can you serve your husband? How can you serve your kids? How can you serve your, oh, ready for it? How can you serve your boss? What? I'm supposed to serve them. I don't mean what you're supposed to do. I mean, how can you actively serve them? How can you serve the people at MC3? And we're going to come back to all this stuff in a little bit. But, you know, with a church, we're supposed to do that. Oh, I gave money to the offering, so I serve people. I work in Ignition. No, I don't mean those kind of things. I mean, like, for real. Like, hey, I am here to help you out, brother. Sister, I am here for you. How can we serve each other? And so that's what I want to look at, this idea about not waiting to be waited upon. Because I think it's so easy, especially if you're already in a position where you have some authority. If you're a parent, you have authority. Sometimes we don't assert that authority enough and let your kids walk all over you, but you're the parent. You are the authority. You have that position. Sometimes as the oldest child in a family, you've got some authority because they look up to you. You've got authority. Sometimes as the person that is outside of the home working to bring in the income, there's this underscored idea that, well, I'm the authority because I bring in the paycheck. There's the idea of, you know, well, biblically, you know, men and women, there's relationships that they have, and the role of the husband is to lead the family. So there's some authority built in there. As a boss, you have authority. And so what I'm getting at is, in all of these areas, it's easy when we have the authority to miss serving other people. And instead, we just wait to be waited on. Well, I'm the boss. Your job is to serve me. I'm the oldest. Your job is to do what I say. And I want to look at this idea of not waiting to be waited upon, but looking at actively serving other people. So the first thing we see in this passage is that serving is rooted in love. And this is the foundation. This is exactly what Peter is saying. And he says, well, he breaks down. He says, above all. Above all. So over all of this thing, over everything that we're talking about today, he says, love each other deeply. So he uses this word love, and we've talked about love a lot. And love, this word here is the word agape. And if you know anything about the Bible, it was written originally to a Greek audience by Greek people that spoke Greek. And so the word for love, there's actually a number of different words for love. Some of them sort of mean like, hey, we're friends, that's kind of a cool love. There's an erotic, a sexual love that is used. And then there's this word agape that means unconditional love. And anytime you see it in the New Testament where it talks about God's love, it uses this word agape. It is a love that means we don't deserve it. It means there's nothing about it that earns it. And so Peter is saying, when you need to love each other, you need to agape each other deeply. Because, you don't know what they've done to me. Peter says, I don't care. Your job is to love. Well, I've been working really hard all day today, and they've just been at home doing nothing. I mean, what do kids and moms do anyway? Psst. It's not like there's any work involved there. So they deserve... No. You need to love. You need to agape unconditionally. Well, I'm the boss. They get paid to do what I say. But you need to love unconditionally. And it goes on and it says, love each other deeply. And this word, it's actually, the Greek is agape echo. Echo is the Greek word there. And we know what echo means. It means to repeat. It means to be consistent, to be constant. And that's exactly what it means. It's this idea of to keep going. So it's not like, yeah, I did that check. Do you remember, dear? You know, this is the car ride home. Remember what the pastor said about loving each other? Or she doesn't talk like that because if she did, that'd be kind of weird. Remember what the pastor said about loving each other? And you're like, yeah, I did that once. You remember? There was that time, like 3 weeks ago, where there was that diaper, and I totally changed it. Agape, but it's not echo. It's agape echo. It's continuously, deeply, constantly, that we need to be looking to serve each other all the time. We need to love each other over and over and over. And even if, in spite of the fact that they might not deserve it, Peter says to love each other deeply. And it's a cool thing here too. He says because love, because agape, covers over a multitude of sins. And there's tons of deep thoughts that are here related to the atonement and to Jesus' agape love for us covering over our sin, and that we don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His death for us. But in that love, we are therefore, by following Jesus, by believing in Him, we are able to receive heaven and glory and wonder and all that cool stuff. And that's the idea here, that our that God's agape for us covers sins, and our agape for others covers sins. And this is the thing, because if you are in a relationship with a person, and I don't mean necessarily a love relationship, and well, I guess I do mean love, agape, but I don't mean like a my boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, spouse, anything like that. I'm saying in any relationship, husband, daughter, coworker, church people to church people, prime group to prime group. Like if you are in any kind of relationship, I guarantee that the other person in your relationship is not as perfect as you. Because I understand you are perfect. And you don't do anything wrong. I mean, I don't either. So it's all good. But the other person, sometimes they do things that are just annoying. Sometimes they do things that are just mean. Like, what were you even thinking? But what Peter says here is that if we are agape echoing, you know what? Even when they mess up, even when they do something that is just downright rude, wrong, offensive, that Peter says we should be loving them unconditionally, and that'll cover over that too. If you want your relationships to work, if you want to have any kind of a healthy relationship with another person, you need to love deeply. Because when you do that, those things that, yeah, it was annoying, yeah, it bothered you, yes, it was frustrating, maybe it wasn't right, it was totally inappropriate, it was sin. I'm not ignoring sin, but I'm saying that that gets us through those moments. And so that's what Peter is talking about here. He says we need to understand that love, loving each other deeply, covers over a multitude of sins. Kirk, I don't know what's up with your praying, but apparently you pray through my notes every week somehow. But he said something in his prayer here for the mission team about how God can envelop us, can wrap around us. And that is exactly what this word cover means. It's like the idea of skin, that it covers over all of it. All of that stuff, all of the junk. I mean, if you took my skin off, it would be nasty looking. But love covers over that. Love protects. It has the idea of a bark on a tree, that it protects the inside of the tree. So that's this idea of covering over a multitude of sins. So the first thing to understand when it comes to serving, to not being waited upon, we need to be loving each other deeply, because serving is rooted in love. It's got to come from a fact that says, you know what, you don't even deserve me to serve you, but I'm going to do it because I love you. And you know, and again, if you're in a marriage relationship, I'm guessing that at some point in your marriage ceremony, the word love was used. And so if you say that, follow up. Love each other deeply. Echo agape, 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 agape. Cover each other deeply with that love. Cover your sin. So it's rooted in love. The second thing is that serving requires initiative. Initiative. You can't wait for it to happen to you. You need to step up and do it. You need to step up and serve. And that is exactly what Peter continues on here in verse 9. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And this word, offer hospitality, I mean, this phrase, it has the idea of welcoming strangers. And, okay, well, how does that, hold on. It means to welcome a stranger, to be, what else does it say? To entertain those that you don't know. And Peter kind of takes a twist on this and says, don't entertain those outside that are knocking on your door. Can we come in? Sure, come on in. He says, offer hospitality to one another. he's talking to followers of Jesus and says, look, you need to be willing to entertain, to welcome them, to be comfortable, to help them out. And it doesn't mean like, okay, I need to make sure my house is always clean so that people can come over for dinner. This is way bigger than that. It means, are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to take the initiative to serve one another? And he says, to do it without grumbling. And I think that's kind of this idea. Like, if you're going to serve someone, and you're like, yeah, I guess I have to do this, or I don't really want to, or I'll just wait until they do something that makes, so they deserve it. Like, that is totally not what Peter is talking about. He says you need to be willing to offer hospitality, be willing to step out and do something for someone else, to serve someone else, to serve your wife, to serve your kids, to serve your boss, to serve your prime group, without grumbling. Saying, I'm willing to do this. And it's going to take initiative. And that's why he's using this word, offer. He's talking about taking the step to do that to one another. So, I mean, he's just really messing with words here because it has to do with this idea, again, of strangers and those you don't know. And he says, do it for the people you do know. Are you willing to take that step and serve the people that you do know? I mean, and I think this is one of the things that, you know, I love about missions here at MC3 and about the partnership with Trigo and Miel. And I had a conversation with one of the Forward Edge workers that's going to be going down with us the other day. And it's interesting because, you know, they work with I don't know, hundreds of churches that go on missions teams, that go on trips down to the various places that Forward Edge serves. And I think there's definitely this idea of what can we get out of it from churches. And I want to make sure that when we go down there, you know, we are serving because we want to, again, it's a partnership. We're talking about long-term kind of stuff. But it's very easy to see teams, and I've seen this in my years. I've led, I don't know, 15, 18 missions teams over my years as a pastor and a youth pastor. And I'm a little cynical, I got to be honest, because I watch students specifically, you know, and I haven't seen it at MC3, but I've watched students over my years go and suddenly they're on the mission field. And so they're actually doing what Jesus has called us to do all the time. But we're on the mission field, so suddenly I'll serve people and I'll get up early and I'll do this for them. And it's good. You need that on the mission field. There's culture shock. There's all these extra things that are built into that. But what I think is so frustrating is that there's this kind of this sense of, oh, the mission field, that's where you're supposed to do these things. It doesn't really apply at home. It doesn't apply with my brothers and sisters. It's when I'm down there. And that's what Peter's saying. Look, this needs to be life. You need to be willing to take the initiative to serve other people, to serve the people that you are with, to serve the people that are around you without grumbling. So serving is rooted in love. Serving requires initiative. The third thing is that serving receives nothing. Serving receives nothing. And when we go to serve people, we can't be doing it so that we can get something out of it. That's not what Peter's talking about. That's not biblical serving. That's not relating. That's just selfish. That makes you the one sitting here waiting. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to serve right now because I know if I do this right now, you'll do that for me. Well, this is what Peter talks about. He says, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So, hanging on right there, he talks about using whatever gifts we have received. And so I want you to understand this, that you as a follower of Jesus have been given one, at least, maybe multiple spiritual gifts. It is a gift that you don't deserve. It is a gift of grace, and it is given to you. And I won't have time to talk about all that, but you've got Ephesians, you've got Romans, you've got Corinthians that talk about these different gifts. And there's gifts of teaching, and there's gifts of encouragement, and there's gifts of shepherding and administration. There's all these different gifts. And Peter says, look, each of you, you need to use those gifts, these gifts that you don't deserve, to serve others. And the word serve is diakonos, and it's a word, and it's really cool, and I didn't realize this until I was studying it again for this week, but it means, it has this idea of serving someone, but the word has nothing to do, this is crazy, has nothing to do with relationship. The emphasis is totally on the work. So if you are serving someone, if you are diakonos-ing for someone, or deaconing for someone, it means you're not doing it for the sake of whether they're going to like you. You're not doing it for the sake of something you might get in return. You're not doing it because if I do this for you, you'll get something back. It is totally focused on the idea of work. That if you are going to serve as Peter calls to serve, you are just doing it. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they want. I mean, I guess the best way, well, that's still kind of a relative term, but the best way may be like a waiter. But that's kind of a problem because a waiter or a waitress, you know, they're counting on a tip. So they're probably going to do some things with expectations. So maybe it's, I don't know, a fast food counter where they're not getting tips out of it. But just the idea that, you know, your job is to do a good job. It doesn't matter if the people are nice to you. I mean, I had the opportunity, that sounds like it was fun. I was a manager at Dairy Queen when I was in my early years of college, a supervisor there, and not a manager. And I remember just having to deal with people. People are obnoxious and rude. And my job is when they get upset, as a supervisor, when they got upset with one of the employees, I was the one that had to kind of step in and serve and do these things. And honestly, that's probably what Peter's talking about here. He's like, you need to serve like you're the drive-through supervisor. Because when you do that, they are still mad at you. They don't like you. They talk bad things about you. And you still have to say that the customer's always right. And you have to say, I'm so sorry. Here, would you like an extra thing? Because we want that attitude. You know, we want you to be happy and pleased with your service. So we'll give you this for free. Or, you know, I will talk to that employee. We will make sure that next time, you know, they don't give you an extra onion ring in the fries, which we all love. Come on, for real. We love the onion ring stuck in the fries. But you didn't like that, and I'm sorry, so we will make sure that doesn't happen the next time. I even had, and maybe I told you this before, I got in trouble once because I was told I was being too nice. I actually had a lady call the manager in, who was my boss, and say, well, he's just being too nice for me. I think there's something up. She thought I was making fun of her just because I was being nice because she was being a jerk. But all that to say that that's this word serve. It means, you know, you are just doing it and there is nothing you're getting out of it. It doesn't even mean they're going to like you more. It doesn't mean, and I would hope that your spouse, you know, likes you. I would hope that your kids like you. But this word means to serve, to focus on the work, and it doesn't matter what you get in return. And then he goes on and says, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And he's talking again about these gifts. And as the steward, we're the manager. We're the ones that are responsible for managing, for taking care of the things. And we talk about stewardship with money, but here Peter is talking about stewardship with the gifts that God has given us. It is your job to use them, to manage them for the sake of others, for the sake of God's kingdom. And that is what we're supposed to do. And it doesn't matter if they deserve it. It doesn't matter if it's worth it, if you're getting something out of it. That is not the point. God gave you a gift. It is your job to use it to serve other people. And again, not just those out there, but to serve the people that you are living with, that you are doing life with day in and day out. That is what we are called to do. And he goes on and says, if anyone speaks, he's given some examples. If your gift is speaking, do it as the one who speaks the very words of God. If you have a gift of serving, and this is kind of a different thing from this of the general broad category of serving, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So he goes on and says, look, your job is to serve others. It doesn't matter what you get out of it. God has given you a gift, at least one, and you need to use it for the sake of others. And when you use it for the sake of others, the cool thing is that God gets the glory. And if you don't know what that means, please go to mc3church.org and listen to the Superstar series last month, because it's all about him anyway. He is the one. He is the focus. So that's what Peter is saying, that when we do that, that God will be the one that gets the glory. So we shouldn't be sitting down waiting to be waited upon. We should be active, serving. It's rooted in love. It's because you are told, you are called to love other people. And that's unconditional. That's not because they deserve it. That's even if they messed up, because your love is going to cover over that sin. It's not excusing. It's not pretending it didn't happen. It's not an elephant in the room. But it's saying, you know what, my love for you is greater than your offense towards me. And because of that, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to take the initiative to serve. I'm going to offer hospitality that's generally offered to outsiders. I'm going to give that to you because I love you. And I'm going to do it not expecting anything in return. You don't love expecting something in return. You don't serve expecting something in return. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Males. It's interesting. When serving happens a lot more, it shouldn't be that way. I mean, that's all good. It's perk. It's marriage. Good stuff. But it can't be expecting something in return. And now I just called you out on it. So now the ladies will be like, why are you being so... Oh, that's why... Sorry, buddy. But that's the idea. We can't wait to be waited upon. We can't just sit around waiting for people to serve us, because that is not our job. I don't care what your role is. I don't care what your responsibility is, what level of awesomeness you have attained. Our job is to serve others. And that's what we're talking about. Relating means we serve selflessly. It's not about me. It's not what I can get out of it. It's about serving other people because they deserve it, because God has called me to do it. So I want to talk about what this looks like. Serving like a boss. Jesus is our boss. There, how's that cheesy church transition there? Jesus is the boss. He is the Lord. We talked about this, I think it was last week, about Lord and how, you know, if we're going to call him Lord, we're going to do what he says, because Lord means you are the one in control. And so Peter talks about how it's important to serve, but I want to look at what does Jesus do? In Philippians, Paul shares to the church in Philippi, he shares to talk to them about how it's important that they serve. How it's important that they serve like Jesus did. And so he gives them the example of Jesus. And I just want to throw out a couple of things, just some practical ways that we can serve other people. Because I want you to get, again, we're not talking about the people out there. We're talking about the people right here. The people that you're with. Do we even think about that, honestly? Like, I know we know, oh, that person over there looks like they could use a ham sandwich, so I'm going to go serve them. Or you need some financial help, so I will help you with that. Or, hey, can I help you with your groceries, random person in the parking lot? I think we're more active about thinking about outsiders than we are about the people around us. And God has called us to serve selflessly. And so let's look at the example of Jesus. There's a couple of things, four things, as a matter of fact. The first thing, when it comes to serving selflessly, is you need to radar up. Radar, right? You guys remember MASH? What was his name? Radar O'Reilly? Was that his name? O'Reilly? Yeah, okay. So there's radar, and that has nothing to do with it. They just called him that because he was, I don't know why they called him that anyway. But the idea of a radar is you're alert, you're aware of something. You know, a radar is used. I hope that the radar is working properly at Reagan National Airport when we fly out of D.C. And I hope that it is also working properly in Houston when we land there. And I hope it is still working properly when we take off from Houston and land in Oaxaca. And I hope that it is working properly in Oaxaca, because that radar is set to pick up other blips, to pick up all the other planes, which are nowhere near as important as the plane that I'm on. But I hope it's working properly. But that's what the point of radar is. It's a sensor. It's always aware of what's going on. And it spins like that. But I wouldn't do that, because that would be really weird. Unless you need to do it just so you can focus on serving. What are you doing, Dad? Just getting ready to serve. So anyway, but your radar is up because you need to be aware of what opportunities are around. I'm a little dizzy. What opportunities are around you? What ways can you serve? Because if you sit back and wait to serve, your radar is not up. You are not aware of the needs. You're not, and again, I'm not talking about those needs out there. You're not aware of, is there something I can do for my wife right now? I'm sitting here getting my coins on Crossy Road, because every 6 hours I get my coin upgrade. And she's, I don't know, making dinner. I could say, well, I spent a really long day today working hard. And, you know, hey, she's at home. She doesn't do anything anyway. Might as well make dinner. Or if my radar is up, I would say, well, maybe in the midst of all the, maybe she's trying to tell me something, you know? But if our radar is up, we are looking for the opportunities to serve. And that's exactly what we're talking about with Jesus here. Because, see, you can't be passive. You can't just sit and wait for it to happen. You have to be active, actively looking for ways to serve others. And that was Jesus' mindset. And that's what Paul says to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, he starts, "In your relationships with one another, you should have the same mindset of Christ Jesus." Jesus had a mindset. This was a sense of when Jesus was living here on the earth, and I would say still when he's alive today and in glory, you know, there's this mindset that says, what can I do to serve? His mindset, his attitude, that's what another translation might say. You should have the same attitude. This is actually the NLT, not the NIV. I messed up. Have the same attitude, have the same mindset, have the radar that Jesus had. And we'll talk about what that looked like in a second. But this is important, that we can't just sit back and say, oh, I'm going to serve when I get to it. Or, okay, I've set aside a week to spend in Mexico, so I'll serve then. Okay, you know, it's Sunday, so I'll serve. All right, the fifth Sunday coming up, I guess I'll serve then. When we're talking about serving, it needs to be an attitude, a mindset. And Jesus' attitude, he was always looking. And frankly, if you read the New Testament, if you read the Gospels, there's probably a few times where you're going like, what, Jesus? What are you doing? Well, I would not do that. Because, I mean, he did some scandalous things. He talked to people that no one should talk to in that culture. Because he had a mindset. He had a radar, has a radar that says, I'm looking for opportunities. And we, if we're going to serve selflessly, need to have our radar up. We need to be looking and active. You can't sit back watching the clock waiting for the opportunity to come to you. You need to go for them. You need to be looking for the things that are around you. So the second thing that we see here is to hush up. Now, this is not to be confused. This is what we're talking about here. This is not to be confused with shut up, because we'll talk about shut up. That's the series. That's the point in a couple of weeks here. So we'll come to shut up later. But right now we're just talking about hush up, which is the same thing, but I need a different word. But serving like a boss, we need to, if we're going to serve people, and Peter already talked about this, without grumbling, we need to stop complaining. Because if we're really serving people, like, it's, and we've talked about this idea before, you know, if I'm going to like, hi, Kendra, I'm here to help you because I should. What do I need to do? Okay, fine. This isn't even working. How do you stir this? That's not serving. That's just get out of the room. Like, it's better off without you. I have one less problem without you. Anyway, that's not serving. Serving says you're going to be quiet. You're not going to complain. You're just going to do it because that is true serving. That is serving like a boss. That is serving like Jesus. You can't serve and complain. And so Jesus didn't complain about the situation. He goes on in verse 6 there of Philippians 2. He says, who, Jesus, by the way, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. If Jesus had the right, if anyone had the right to complain, it was Jesus. You bunch of ungrateful ingrates. There you go. You bunch of ungrateful, sinful human beings. I die for you and you still can't follow me sinlessly for a day. And of course, he knew that. That was the whole point. Because we can't. We can't be perfect. But out of anybody, God, in human flesh, in Jesus, could have complained. He had the right to. But he didn't. He didn't use that to his own advantage. He didn't complain about it. He didn't whine. Because he came to serve. He came to serve selflessly. The third thing that we see here is giving up. And this is something we've talked about before, and we'll keep talking about because we live in America. And we are so focused on our rights, on what we deserve, on what we are owed. And we allow that to affect things. And, I talked to you guys about this last week, you know, how the Bible is written in a context where people were used to a king. They were used to an emperor. They knew what Caesar meant and what it meant if you didn't follow Caesar. Death, imprisonment. They understood what it meant to follow a lord, to follow a leader. And we are reading the Bible in the context of American democracy, which I am not complaining about our democracy. But it affects how we see God, and we can't let it do that. Because we see God as sort of, okay, God, you owe me this, and then I'll do this for you. God doesn't owe us jack. That's a whole other series. God doesn't owe us anything. Everything that he has done is because of his grace, because of his love, because of his agape echo. Because he loves us continuously, and we don't deserve it. And so we need to give up what we deserve. And even if you think about the word servant, right? I mean, again, if you use the word servant, to serve is one thing. When we talk about a servant, I don't know, right away I picture a topless guy with a robe. Or with like, not a robe, like a towel. I don't know. I just see in sandals. Don't ask me why I'm picturing a topless guy. but it just seems that way. You know, I just, and maybe there's someone with a fan, a palm frond fan. Because right away when you talk about servant, it's getting old. And I'm still messed up with the topless guy thing. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? I see, like, I don't know. Maybe I watch too much Spartacus or something. But, you know, the idea of a servant, and right away when you think of a servant, they don't have any rights. Their job is to serve. They're a slave. They're the ones that are supposed to do what they're supposed to do. And we are called to be servants. And a servant doesn't have entitlements. A servant doesn't have rights. A servant's job is to serve. And Jesus tells us to serve. And Jesus did the same thing. He gave up what he deserved. And we need to give up our entitlements. And he goes on to the first part of verse 7. Paul says that Rather than making an issue of the fact that he was God, he made himself nothing. He gave up what he deserved. He gave up Jesus. He's the only one that actually had something worth deserving. I mean, he deserved it. And he, as our example, as the boss, gave up his rights. And Paul says he made himself nothing. And I'll explain what that is in a second. But he gave it up. He, of any human being that walked on this earth, now he was fully human and fully God, but of any human being on this planet, Jesus was the only one that had entitlements. He had rights. And he, as our example, with that mindset, gave up those rights. And I think this is where, when we're talking about the relationships that we have with people around us, like, If you're talking about being the boss, if you're talking about being a coordinator of a ministry team here at MC3, like, well, you're the one in charge and they're the ones working under you. But if we actually taking the time to say, how can I serve the people that are under me? How can I serve the people that work for me in my job? How can I serve my children? I think that's a hard one because as parents, their job is to serve us. There's no questions. Drop the mic. But Jesus kind of turns this on his head and says, no, we need to serve everyone. And as parents, are you actively serving your kids? Well, yeah, I drive them to soccer practice every day, little ingrates. Okay, I think you messed up the complaining. And I'm talking about not stuff you have to do. I'm talking about those little things. Like, is there a time where you can say, hey, bud, can I give you a hand with that? I think my kids would be shocked sometimes. Like, why are you helping me, Dad? You're Dad. I'm supposed to do what you say. But we need to give up our rights and really look at how we can actively serve those around us. And that's what Jesus did. He gave up his rights. He gave up his entitlements. He made himself nothing. And the fourth thing we can do, so getting our radar up, looking for things, hushing up, stop complaining about it, giving up our rights. And the last thing is getting up. If you're going to serve, you're going to have to get off of your butt. You're going to have to get up and do something because you can't serve sitting and waiting. This is not serving. This is arrogant, whatever else you want to call it, just sitting. You need to get up. You can't be lazy. And again, this is a mindset thing for us. We're looking and saying, okay, you know, I had a long day. I don't deserve to serve them. I'm tired of helping them. Whatever. Well, let's look at what Jesus does. So he did some things. He, being the very nature God, he had a mindset and attitude that he had equality with God, but didn't use that to his own advantage. Instead, he made himself nothing. And what did he do? Just a couple things. You know, he took the very nature of the servant. He became a servant. That's kind of a low position for God. He was made. He was being made in human likeness. He became a human being. He became sinful people. Now, he was not sinful, but became like one of us. He became human. That's very demeaning for someone that happens to be the creator of the universe that lives outside of time, to become like his creation. And being found in appearance as a man, I mean, maybe that would be insulting too, like he's a man. If he was a woman, I'm sure he'd be okay, but he was a man. Actually, it means human. Being found in appearance as human, he humbled himself. So what else did he do? Oh, just died on the cross for us, for the people that don't deserve it. Jesus did stuff. He didn't sit back and say, okay, well, you know, I'm the one that deserves to be served. And he would have been right. But he was active. He got up. Actually, we say he got up from his throne and came to this earth and took a human form, became flesh. The Word became flesh, made its dwelling among us. And then he didn't just take that. He said, I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be the lowest of the low. And that's why the disciples had such a hard time when Jesus at the Last Supper got up and washed their feet. That is not a position for anyone of any authority, certainly not for the Son of God. And he served. And then he went even further and died for us. It doesn't get any better than that, or lower than that, I guess you could say. And that was Jesus' example. So if we're going to follow Jesus' example, we need to get up. We need to not sit down. We can't wait to be served. We need to look for ways that we can serve those around us. So you need to radar up, looking around, being aware. How can I serve my wife today? How can I serve my husband today? We need to hush up. We need to do it without complaining. Yeah, Sean said I needed to do this, so here we go. Kind of lost the emphasis there. We need to give up. You know what? You might have every right to not help someone else, to not do something. You might literally, you might be legitimately justified in not doing it. But Jesus gave up his rights. And if we're going to serve people, we need to give up our rights. And then we need to get up. You need to do something. You can't just sit around. So look for those things that are around us, because relating means we serve selflessly. And that's what we're going to kind of set up some things over the next few weeks along the lines of serving those in the relationships around us. And I encourage you to do that, to find ways that you can serve. And again, just kind of throwing out some areas we can look at. You know, who do you serve? Do you serve your spouse? Well, yeah, I have a job. I'll give them money so they can eat. That's yes. But you know what I'm talking about. Once every 3 months, hello, I give him. Anyway, like, I don't mean that. I mean serve. How can you serve your spouse? How about your kids? Do you as a parent serve your kids? Kids, do you serve your parents? Oh, they made me do that. Yeah, that's okay. But what about those times? I'm avoiding looking at my daughter right now. How about those times when they ask you to do, you know, they don't ask you to do something and you just step up and say, how can I help? And as a matter of fact, that happened this morning. Good job. You read my notes. You and Kirk must have been hanging out. But this idea of, you know, looking for ways we can actively serve those around us. Your family, again, looking at that idea. How about your coworkers? Are there people, not because of your job, I don't mean you pass the next piece of whatever down the line to them, oh, I served you. But I mean, are there other things that you can do for them to be actively serving the people around you selflessly? Or your boss, and I don't mean doing what he tells you, but maybe there's other things that you need to do to serve your boss. How about the people that answer to you? You know, maybe you're the boss. There's people that answer to you. Can you serve them in ways? And again, I mean, you know, I know I talk with our ministry team leaders, our ministry team coordinators here. You know, don't just have the people under you do what they're supposed to do, but look for ways that you can serve them. Well, that's their job to make sure that that's done. Well, maybe you step in and help them with that at some point. Like, are we looking for ways that we can serve the people around us? How about those in your prime group? Prime groups, relationships, you have connections with other people. And I don't mean waiting until there's a C3 opportunity that comes through or your leader says, hey, we need to help this person. But are you actively, and I mean actively, not sitting around for the rest of your group to help you, but you saying, how can I serve people around me? other people at MC3. I mean, there's just so many people that are in relationship with us right now, and we need to be actively serving them selflessly. And I just want to say right now, too, that there are some people here that are serving, and they serve selflessly. And you guys probably don't know this. Maybe you've noticed that there's different speakers. But our entire sound system crashed after ATU rehearsal yesterday morning. And I know John, Vargas, Scott, Jason Fetters back there, Scott Snook, and there was someone else, Josh, who's not in. He's helping serving right now with Kids in Ignition. And there were a number of people that were just here literally for hours on end, getting it so that we could have what we've got right now to have sound and video and all of that. And it was cool because it's just kind of a cool pastor moment because I wasn't here. I didn't have to come in and do it because there's people that are like, you know what, I'm going to serve. And they weren't asked to do that. They weren't forced to do it, but they stepped up and did that. And that's what I'm talking about. It's this willingness to say, you know what, there's a need and I'm going to serve. That is what Jesus is calling us to do. That's what Peter has told us to do, and that's the example that Paul says that Jesus set for us. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for everything you've done for us that we do not deserve. And I pray that as we relate with the people around us, with the relationships that we already have, help us to be active in serving them selflessly. They don't deserve it, maybe. Maybe it's uncomfortable or inconveniences us, but help us to be active, to selflessly serve those around us and not just sit back and wait. And wait to be served, but to serve others just like Jesus did for us. And without his serving us, without his death on the cross, we would have no hope. So we are grateful for what Jesus has done for us, God. Thank you so much for that. And I pray for our attitudes and our hearts as we leave here to really have our radar up and look for ways to serve the people that are immediately around us. In Jesus' name, amen.